Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Good morning. Are we ready? Ready to get into God's Word this morning? We're still in Titus. And as we have discovered last week, Titus was left where he was by Paul to accomplish something, and he got kind of covered up doing the good things, and he neglected to do the thing that he was supposed to do. And we learned that that's true in our lives a lot of times. We get so caught up in doing the good things that we don't get the best things done. And remember that the bad is not the enemy of the best. It's the good that's the enemy of the best. And so we need to learn to find out what God's best is for our lives and to pursue that. And so we're continuing in our study of Paul's letter to Titus, and we're going to continue in Titus chapter 1, and we'll finish up chapter 1 starting at verse 10 through 16. And Paul writes, "There are many believers, especially converts from Judaism, who are rebellious. They speak nonsense and deceive people. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole families by teaching what they shouldn't teach. This is the shameful way they make money. Even one of their own prophets said that Cretans are always liars, savage animals, and lazy gluttons. That statement is true, and for this reason, sharply correct believers so that they continue to have faith that is alive and well. They shouldn't pay attention to Jewish myths or commands given by people who are always rejecting the truth. Everything is clean to those who are clean, but nothing is clean to corrupt unbelievers. Indeed, their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but they deny Him by what they do. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit to do anything good." And I would say, Paul, tell me what you really think here. Tell me what your real feelings here about what's going on here. And basically we had some people that were coming along and they were destroying the simple faith that he had planted several decades earlier. And you know, I remember when I was growing up, as most of you know, my father's side of the family was Catholic, my mother's side of the family was Lutheran, and there were many occasions that we would go to church. My father would take us to church at the Lutheran church, and we'd go through, you know, the church service, the early service, and perhaps even stay for Sunday school. Then afterwards, we'd come home, and Dad would walk over to St. Agnes Catholic Church, which was about three blocks away, and many times we would walk over there with him. And so, as children, we didn't realize that there were a lot of differences between the two churches. And it wasn't until I had grown up that I began to understand the massive conflict that there was within the family, because my aunts and my uncles said that, you know, well, we weren't Lutheran nor were we Catholic, because we were going to both of these churches, and there was so much conflict there. And I guess, as I've mentioned before, it really was brought home to me in 1963 when my grandfather passed away. Most of you remember November 22nd, 1963 is when Kennedy was assassinated. In our family, that was the evening that my grandfather passed away. And my mother, in her attempt to comfort us children, said it's really too bad that Grandpa is in hell now because he was a Catholic and not a Lutheran. And it just reminded me that for so many centuries that the different, well, we might call them denominations, Paul would call them factions within the church, had been at war with each other. Oh, if you don't go to our church, you're not going to heaven. Oh, if you don't do as we do, you're obviously on your way to hell. You know, in the beginning of the 1900s, we had in America, it was known as the Azusa Street Revival, and that was the advent of the Pentecostal movement en masse in the United States of America. And it was interesting that as the Pentecostals would have their prayer meetings and their, you know, tent conventions and things like that, well, then the established denominations like the Methodists and the Baptists and whatever, they would throw eggs at the Pentecostals because these people were obviously full of the devil. And now fast forward to the end of the 20th century and the Assemblies of God and the Church of God in Christ and all of these Pentecostal denominations have weathered the storms and they've, you know, they're now established denominations and they're as accepted as any of the other denominations. And then you have the charismatic or the full gospel movement come along. And the Pentecostals are right in there with the rest of them throwing eggs at the full gospel movement. Why? Because everybody wants to think that they are the sole possessors of the full sum of truth. And that anybody who believes differently or acts differently than we are is obviously of the devil. And I'm not here to argue which denomination is right or which denomination is wrong. The Word of God says, he who hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. My only question today is, do you have Jesus? Amen? That's all that matters. Everything else is just worship preference. And so any little thing that I may not enjoy or participate in, that really doesn't matter as long as you have Jesus in your heart. Amen? And so we can see that for 2,000 years that the church has been divided. It's had factions. Even in Paul's time, there were those that said, well, we're of Paul, or we're of Cephas, or we're of, you know, and so, you know, they were followers not of Jesus, but followers of Paul, or followers of Peter. And the Word of God simply says, you need to be a follower of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so this is what Paul is dealing with, is that there are some people here where Titus is ministering, and a lot of them were Christian converts from Judaism. They were originally Jewish, of the Jewish religion, and then Paul came along, or somebody came along and told them the good news of Jesus Christ, and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But as time went on, they began to think, you know, not everybody can really be a Christian. The reason that God had mercy on us and saved us is because first we were Jews. And so because we were first Jews, I mean, we were already part of the promise, part of the covenant, then it was just accepting Jesus that got us into heaven. And so they came up with this nifty new religion that said that, well, if you really want to become a Christian, first you must become a Jew. And we'll go ahead and indoctrinate you into the Jewish religion, and then after you do all of the Jewish observances and everything, then you can become a believer in Jesus. And so that was the heresy that Titus was dealing with. It was the heresy that Paul was fighting, and he did this everywhere that he went. They were, we call them Judaizers. People who felt that you couldn't be just a Christian, you had to be a Jewish Christian. And Paul starts off, there are many believers, especially converts from Judaism, who are rebellious. Now, how are you rebellious? You're rebellious by rejecting the truth. When you reject what is true, then you are rebellious. And these people heard the simple gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul, and they rejected it. They said, no, it can't be that easy. How many of you know that because it's that easy, that's what makes Christianity so hard? Amen. It's the human nature to want to make it more difficult. I mean, if Jesus were to appear out here in the courtyard or by the pool and say, everybody who would get on their knees and walk on their knees down to Avenue D will be able to come to heaven. Everybody in this place would be on their knees, walking bloody and tattered and torn down Franz Avenue to Avenue D, because this is something that I can do that will earn me my place in heaven. But the bottom line is, there is nothing that we can do, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Amen. And so Paul is just vehemently fighting these that are saying that you have to add something to the gospel message to become a Christian. And he says, they speak nonsense and they deceive people. Why do they deceive people? Because it appeals to the flesh. I can do this. I can earn my way into heaven. That appeals to me as a human being. This is something I can do, and because I do it, I then am deserving of God's love and God's acceptance. But again, all of our righteous works are as filthy rags to the Lord, aren't they? And then Paul, he's really neat here. He says, now what you need to do is you need to work with them, and you need to try to encourage them not to be so vocal and going around and deceiving people. Is that what Paul said? He says, they must be silenced. Okay? Now, I guess... the mafia hasn't been invented yet, because Titus might, you know, decide to contact one of the families there and put a contract out here, because they must be silenced. But Paul's not saying that we have to kill them off, but they have to be silenced. You can't let them get away with what they are doing. They must be shown for what they are. They're in error. There must be silence, because they're ruining whole families by teaching what they shouldn't teach. And it says this is the shameful way they make money, because these people are actually going around and they're sitting down at the table with whomever and saying, I know what Paul said, and I know what his little buddy Titus have taught you, but really this isn't going to work, and really I because I like you so much and you're such a special person to me, I'm going to share the truth with you, and you really must first become a Jew. And then the people are so grateful for showing them the truth that they're forking over huge sums of money. And Paul says, this is the shameful way that they make money, going from house to house and spreading a lie. And then in talking about the people at Crete, Paul quotes one of their own prophets, Cretans are always liars, savage animals, and lazy gluttons. All right. Paul didn't have a very high opinion of them, and obviously one of their own prophets didn't have a very high opinion of them. He says, and this statement is true, because look what they're doing. When they get in the flesh, look what they're doing. They're taking the easy way out. They're selling off false doctrine for easy money, and the result is that they are leading people to hell. He says, for this reason, sharply correct believers, so that when people fall into this error, you need to come and sit down with them and say, brother, what you have believed is wrong. Oh, Oh, but Paul, we don't want to hurt their feelings, do we? I mean, to tell somebody that they're wrong, that might warp their little psyche, and then what's going to happen to them? Well, maybe they'll make it to heaven. Amen? See, the problem with Christians today is we don't want to make people uncomfortable. If we tell them that the wages of sin is death, well, that might make them uncomfortable. But as I've said before, I'd rather have a lot of uncomfortable Christians than in heaven than a lot of comfortable believers burning in hell, unbelievers burning in hell. Amen? That's right. The gospel is uncomfortable. It makes you face the fact that there's nothing that you can do on your own to gain the salvation. You have to accept what Jesus has already done for you. So Paul says, you sharply correct believers. You don't say, well, you know, we'll hopefully they'll see the truth in the end. No, you sharply correct them and get them back on the track. You know, if you came along as parents and you saw one of your children playing with some arsenic, you know, my goodness, we left some rat poison out or whatever, and now little Johnny has found the bottle of arsenic. What are we going to do?
Take it away from him.
Yeah, now Johnny. Oh, but see, Bob, we don't want to warp their sense of self, their value. If you take it away, then they'll think that maybe they might have done something wrong. And that knowledge is just going to affect them in later life, Bob. You can't do that. You have to say, now, Johnny, you know, you should really think about, you know, playing with that, because, you know, if you get some of that even on your skin, it might make you very sick and it could even kill you. Now, what are you as moms and dads going to do? You're going to snatch that bottle up. You're going to snatch little Johnny up by his ear. You're going to say, don't ever let me catch you touching this bottle again or anything that's bad on it. And you just might, if you were raised in my family, you'd get lit up just to make sure that you understood how important the message was. Okay? And so in the same way, when we see somebody who is in error, and an error that's going to take them away from the kingdom of heaven, you just can't say, well, you know, all roads lead to Rome, all roads lead to heaven. You know, we're just going to get there. No. He that hath the Son hath life. And we need to be able to share that. For this reason, sharply correct believers. All right? And then he goes on and he says, they shouldn't pay attention to Jewish myths or commands given by people who are always rejecting the truth. See, these people gave Paul fits when he was there. And they haven't changed at all. The Judaizers are with us to this day, telling us that, yes, I'm on my way to heaven because I go to church every Sunday. Have you ever heard that? I live a good life. I've been a good father. I've been a good mother. I've been a good husband. I've been a good wife. What is that? That's a Judaizer talking. That's somebody saying that by the things that he has done or she has done, God has to give them salvation. That's a Judaizer. And that won't get you into heaven. And so that Paul is saying, I've dealt with these people all of my Christian life. They're always here, which means that we as believers must always be on the guard. We must always be watching, because there's somebody that's going to come along to one of our loved ones and tell us, you know, your mom or your dad, they meant well, but, you know, that's not really how you get to heaven. And the devil is out there trying to use good-intentioned people to snag our loved ones and drag them into the pits of hell. So we must always be vigilant. Everything is, and this is one of the things that the Judaizers were saying, is that, oh, if you eat this type of meat, if you eat meat, or if you eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols or whatever, this is such a sin and it's unforgivable and you're going to hell. And what Paul reminds us is everything is clean to those who are clean. You know what? If you have a clear conscience, then you're going to see the good in life. But what he's really saying here is that people that always, their conscience, they've got evil thoughts, evil consciences, just they're permeated with evil, then everything they see, they think is evil. They see the evil in everything. But Paul says, no, everything is clean to those who are clean, but nothing is clean to corrupted unbelievers. These people that are corrupt in their thoughts, they see sin everywhere. And so nothing is clean to them. He says, indeed, their minds and their consciences are corrupt. Do you know people like that? Folks that wherever they go, they always see the worst in any situation. Amen? I mean, those are the people that want to make distinctions. Well, they can't go to heaven because they don't believe the way that we believe. Jesus had to deal with that. Do you remember? I mean, his disciples came up to him and said, oh, Jesus, Jesus, here's somebody over here that's talking, you know, they're talking about getting to heaven, and they're not part of our group. And Jesus said, hey, man, if they're not against us, they're for us. You know, the message is getting out. You know, and so that was the attitude that Jesus had, which is the attitude that we have to have. We need to see the good in everything that we see. They claim to know God, but they deny Him by what they do. And you know what? The converse is true also, is that if we claim to know God, then we are going to acknowledge Him in everything that we do. When people look at our lives, what do they see? Do they see people who know God? You know, I watched a movie, I think it was called A Knight's Tale. And here's this guy who really wanted to be a knight. He was not of any royal lineage. It's just that the boy could joust. And so he had some false papers drawn up, and they would go around and they would win all of these competitions around Europe. He was at the World Championships in London, and he was just so proud of himself, and they're there and they're going to win the World Championships, and they get found out. And so the king's guard come and they arrest him and they put him in stocks. And there he is in the stocks, totally humiliated. And then he didn't know it, but he had made friends with the crown prince because he had befriended him. He had jousted with him when nobody else would joust with him. And so he had befriended this prince. And so here's all these people surrounding him, and they just hate him, and they're throwing rotten vegetables at him and everything. And then the prince steps up, and everybody kneels down. This is the prince. And you knew that this was the prince. And the prince, he made this statement. He was lying through his teeth. But he makes this statement that his historians have found that this guy is from an ancient line of royalty. And he says, and because I'm the prince, you can't contradict me. My word is law. And so whether you like it or not, tough. All right, my word is true. Well, you know what? The word of God tells us that we are kings and priests, and from a very ancient lineage, all the way from Jesus Christ. Amen? And because of this, this is the way that we act. So that they claim to know God, but they deny them by what they do. Well, we claim to know God, and we acknowledge Him by what we do. When people look at us, they should see that lifestyle that acknowledges there is a God in heaven. You know, when we say things like, I'm going to pray for you, do you ever think about how that sounds to an unbeliever? I'm going to pray for you. I mean, if you're truly an unbeliever, you're going to say, what a waste of time. I'd be further ahead if you just gave me $5. You know, here, just take $5 and I'm done with you. No, but really, to pray for you? But you know what? If we truly are the children of God, and we truly do believe in the power of prayer, then when we say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, that shows who our Father is. That shows that we are a kingdom of kings and priests. When we're up here doing the food ministry, what does that do? That shows, as Jesus said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? I've got to be doing what my Father's doing. What do you think the Father's doing? He's feeding people. He's meeting needs. And that is what He does through His church. And so that's what we're doing. We're about the Father's business. Amen? And so where Paul says they claim to know God, but they deny Him by what they do. They claim to know God, but their actions show that they don't know God. Let's change that around. We claim to know God, and our actions show what?
We do know.
That we do. Amen? Ask yourself, do my actions show that? Because they should. They should. Father God.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shower.